Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro football full circle.
Stafford from under center, steps back, throws the fade, back shoulder. Cooper Kupp's got it! Cooper Kupp brings it in! Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, LA! They rush for it. Burrow to throw for it. He's sit. He's hit. He's sacked. He throws it away. He flings it away on fourth down. Aaron Donald got there. Donald takes his helmet off in celebration.
Could have been a penalty.
Oh, we are off and running in today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel taking you around for the next hour, hour number two. Mike Carver will join us. Oh, Scotty, the long hangover awaits. The 2021 NFL season is finally signed, sealed, and delivered. Cincinnati lost against the LA Rams 23-20. You heard about it in the intro. But that being said, Cincinnati did reward head coach Zach Taylor an extension through 2026. Joe Burrow does have a mild sprain. No surgery needed on that injury in the Super Bowl. He should be really good for spring ball and obviously July training camp when the teams open up. But I don't know if you saw, Al Golden, that was on the Cincinnati Bengals staff, did get hired by your Notre Dame Fighting Irish. A little news covering both sports, the NFL and college football, with Al Golden making a reappearance on a college sideline.
Yeah, I was saying to myself when I saw that story, Joe, is that the same like Al Golden? Didn't he coach at Temple for a couple of years as well? I mean, I thought maybe that was his son or something, but you want to play the technical game? You know, as we heard those highlights, you want to have a little fun here, the technical game? We'll bring this up with Mike as well later on, I suppose. But listen, what's the essence of being a coach when you talk to your players, right? Don't ever give up. To me, no one's brought this up. It's just a pet peeve of mine. But first off, that should have been a penalty, as you heard the highlight there of Aaron Donald ripping his helmet off. That's a 15-yard penalty. But okay, it was after the play, so we're going to move the ball back 15 yards. All right, now all of a sudden, the Rams had the football right around their own 20-yard line. All right, the Bengals did have one timeout. They didn't use the timeout, Joe. You know what I mean? They could have forced the Rams to run another play. And who knows, right? I mean, it's the Super Bowl. Yeah, I mean, I've seen crazier things happen where if you tell your defensive line, don't give up, you know, don't like not rush the offensive line. And if you want to let the offensive line know, okay, you know, we don't have to be like a Greg Schiano with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from way back when. So, but don't give up. We got a timeout. Right. We got a bullet left. Let's force them to snap the football two times. Who knows? It's Matthew Stafford. It's the Super Bowl. He's on the cusp of winning the Super Bowl. Maybe we force a fumble. Maybe, who knows, right? I mean, the whole premise of you do not give up, and Boy Wonder Jr. there gave up. I don't know.
Yeah. We talk about it all the time, Scotty. I mean, I'm a big believer in this, and obviously you wouldn't need a miraculous type of event, a Joe Pisarcik type of event to obviously get the football back. But I brought it up in terms of the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning and Carolina. I don't know if you recall that ball game. It was a double-digit 14-point margin at that particular time. Cam Newton did get hurt. I believe on the third down play, backup comes in. It's a fourth down and like monumental, fourth and 20. And what does Ron Rivera do? He punts. Now, with 2 minutes, 3 minutes left in that type of situation, you still go for it. You don't know if you get a pass interference call. You have a fresh set of downs. Even if you score a touchdown with 30 seconds left, then you cut the deficit to 7 points. You kick an onside kick, and you never know. That was the same year, I believe, that Aaron Rodgers threw the Hail Mary touchdown. I believe it was against either Detroit or Arizona, one of those years. So you can never say never in that type of situation, right? You fight hard to the end. But these coaches lay up. I agree with you. Bill Parcells did it. 14-point spread. That was a number against Brett Favre and the Green Bay Packers. Go back to that game. It was a 14 7-point margin, a long fourth down for Drew Bledsoe, and he punts the football. Now, the argument is, well, you know, in that type of situation, the stats are against you, you never know. But you, if you punt the football away, or you don't at least try, you never have an opportunity. You just allow the clock to run out, and then there it is, signed, sealed, and delivered. So I'm with you. I mean, I think the deeper question when we look at Cincinnati's performance now, can they obviously regroup and get back the way Kansas City did? Are they that type of team? We talked about it yesterday, 20-1 shot to win the Super Bowl. I love Burrow. I love Chase, but don't have a lot of confidence in Zach Taylor in terms of the course or the body of work. And that defense was basically a no-name defense that really was over expectations this year, no?
Yeah, definitely. You know, but I think they have a chance. I don't know about Kansas City. I don't know if you know, they're that dynamic, if they have that many offensive weapons. But they should be pretty good, right? I mean, I would think they would make the playoffs next year, even though the AFC is loaded, and that you can make a case for every team in the AFC outside of maybe Buffalo, because that AFC is just so bad. For every team to make the playoffs, really, outside of Buffalo, even Kansas City, I can make a case that they don't make it. So. But they should, you know. I mean, they really should. I mean, they got a young quarterback. Good news, he doesn't need surgery. He only has a sprained MCL. The two wide receivers are both young, first round draft choices. Mixon's young, so the core is there for them to be good from here on out. But I don't know if you saw the tweet here. Well, we need to take a break, but I don't know if you saw the tweet yesterday that our boy Dan Marino and then Jim Kelly sent out to Joe Burrow.
Yeah, like, remember us, you know. You better be focused. When we come back, Scotty and I will go through some teams in the AFC and NFC. We'll talk team needs coming up with the NFL draft in April. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel getting you prepped and ready for the season in the fall of 2022. Talking about Super Bowl, talking a little Zach Taylor. Scott, you mentioned before the break that our great quarterback, Dan Marino, back in the day, got to the Super Bowl against the 49ers, obviously never got back and lost to Roger Craig and the crew. Jim Kelly lost four straight Super Bowls. We just talked about it to the Giants, Dallas twice, and Washington. Typically all NFC East teams. I don't know if I knew that when I just recollect the Buffalo Bills' performance in the Super Bowls. But what did they tweet out to Joe Burrow? Keep your head up, kid. Don't worry. There's always a shot.
Yeah, basically, Marino sent out a tweet. Don't be discouraged, Joe Burrow. I also came up short in the Super Bowl my second year. You have the rest of your career to never make it back. And then Jim Kelly replied to Marino, exactly, Joe. I also lost my first Super Bowl, but the next year we made it again. Of course, we lost that one too, but then we made it again the very next season, and of course we lost that one as well, but then we made it again the next season, and of course we lost that one as well. Actually, how do I delete this? He puts on there. So both showed a little personality there. But
yeah, that was good.
That is an amazing feat, you know, by Buffalo. I mean, I know they didn't win, but getting to four straight Super Bowls, that is, that's not an easy thing to do.
No, to keep the intensity, you know, think about it. I mean, it's one thing to get to one Super Bowl, and then you get back, you're clearly the best team in the AFC, and you have the bullseye on your back, and teams can just walk through the motions. Kansas City did it after they won against San Francisco, right? That second year, a couple of years ago, they were challenged by almost every team on their schedule. Would they win? Like, basically 7 to 8 games by seven points or less? They had a terrible ATS record, couldn't cover a game more than basically a point or two. So yeah, it's very difficult. And for Jim Kelly and Andre Reed and Thurmel Thomas, I mean, just a loaded team offensively and defensively to get back to four straight Super Bowls. I mean, I don't know if we'll ever see that again, maybe over the next 10 to 15 years, just the way free agents have played in terms of teams and changing quarterbacks from year to year. I mean, just a dynamic performance. Let's talk, though, about the AFC East. Let's go through a handful of the teams outside. Obviously, the Jets that have Zach Wilson, their quarterback, potentially of the future. Let's talk about Miami and Buffalo right now. I mean, you look at Buffalo, locked and loaded with Josh Allen. They have Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley. They revamped the defensive side of the ball. In your opinion, even though Trey White was hurt, what is the biggest need for this team to maybe get over the hump next year and get to a Super Bowl?
You know, I think just maturity, just being able to get the job done when it counted. You know, I mean, they got torched in Kansas City whenever they really needed to stop there. They couldn't get it done. I mean, just the guys that they have play better, Joe. I don't think it's, you know, maybe a better running game would be helpful. Maybe a better, a complimentary wide receiver might open things up a little bit more so Allen doesn't have to scramble for his life like he did a lot this past season. I would say that. You know, you wonder how long Diggs can go. He's been in the league now a few years. Still should have some shelf life on him, but, you know, getting a secondary wide receiver and really a decent running game, but, you know, legitimate running back, big time back, where teams can go into them and really say, all right, we don't know if they're going to throw the football. We don't know if they're going to run the football. Because I don't know if, Josh Allen is as dynamic as Pat Mahomes. Even Kansas City struggles when they didn't have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right? So those two would be the pressing need, I would think.
Well, I will say this about Buffalo. You know, Singletary did step up in the playoffs. I mean, had one of his best performances against New England, stepped up in the divisional round as well. Obviously, against Kansas City, the running game was basically non-existent outside of Josh Allen, right? Big plays to Gabriel Davis.
Right.
I think, in my opinion, for Buffalo to get back to the championship game and or a Super Bowl appearance, a Micah Parsons type of player that you could utilize an edge rusher to get potential quarterback pressures on Pat Mahomes and now Joe Burrow. I mean, the need for an edge rusher is always there in the NFL, right? I mean, you saw L.A. take on Von Miller. They had Leonard Floyd. I mean, you can never have enough edge rushers, and I think that Dallas maybe changed the script a little bit because we saw Isaiah Simmons get drafted a couple of years ago by Arizona, 4.39 in terms of linebacker and speed, but they didn't know how to utilize him. Dallas really changed the script once Randy Gregory and DeMarcus Lawrence went down with injury and were on the IR. They were sort of like forced into moving Micah Parsons to the edge, and all of a sudden defensive coordinators are like, hey, you know what, this might work. So if Buffalo could get that edge type of rusher in this draft, doesn't necessarily have to be a first round pick, but it could be later in second, third, or mid rounds, you have an opportunity to have an elite defense this year.
Yeah, I mean, you think about who they're going to have to go through, right, to get to the Super Bowl, whether it's the Chargers with Justin Herbert, whether it's Kansas City with Mahomes, whether even if it's the Raiders with Derek Carr, you know, whether it's the Bengals, obviously, with Burrow or Lamar Jackson in Baltimore or even dopey Baker Mayfield. I mean, it's good quarterback after good quarterback after good quarterback. And, you know, you can be the best defensive back in the world, but if your defensive line's not putting pressure on that quarterback, he's going to find him. So,
yeah.
I mean, every team could use a great rusher, obviously, but that might be the final piece for Buffalo, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I am curious to see how they at least attack this draft. I thought they did a fantastic job. Now they have Rousseau that they drafted. They have Ed Oliver on that defensive front. So I'm curious to see what they attack in this year's NFL draft in April. How about our Miami Dolphins?
Let me ask you one last thing in Buffalo. When does the, not the free pass, Joe, but when does, okay, we lost four Super Bowls with Jim Kelly and we're getting the same thing all over again, start with this Buffalo Bills team? Do they get one more year? This year, right? I mean,
Carver,
if they don't win this year.
Yeah, and we could talk about it with Mike. He really said that if he doesn't, in his opinion, if Buffalo doesn't get over the hump this year with McDermott, they never will. And maybe it's needed for a change. That's how Buffalo Bill fans view it in terms of that. They just don't have, at this point, enough confidence in McDermott to maybe take the next step. You know, he
it's
got them to a certain
years,
level.
Right?
I know,
I mean,
but
really, realistically, it's only been last year and this year. That's it. I mean, a third year, I mean, I get that's a struggle, but he's talking about firing the head coach. I mean, I don't know if that's realistic.
But think about McCarthy and how he's viewed. And getting to the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers and never being able to get over the hump, right? You can make the same argument about – now, I'm not saying McDermott is comparable to Mike McCarthy. I actually think he's a better X's and O's guy, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But maybe just a mentality going up against Kansas City. Right? It's one thing to lose. It's another thing to lose to the team that you built the Buffalo Bills around. I mean, they basically built this team to beat Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid, no?
Yeah. And the one thing I will say, giving him more credence to that, is they have the open window now, right? I mean, the Jets suck, the Dolphins suck, and the Patriots are breaking in a rookie quarterback who we really don't know if it's going to be any good or not. I mean, it looked like he has some promise, obviously, Mac right. Jones. But the division is theirs for the next 1-2 years, I would think, without any major concern. So if they don't get it done within the next two, but it's so unfair, right? I mean, basically, you make the case that Josh Allen's been this Josh Allen 2 years. You know, this year and last year, that's right. He's in his rookie contract still, for goodness sakes. I mean, to say that, you know, they have to have that label on them. But that's why I asked you, because, you know, I want to know what the perception is for Bills fans, especially, you know, how long before people just start saying, all right, same old story with this Buffalo.
Well, for me, I think McDermott is a good coach. I would keep
him. Me too.
But at the end of the day, it's how fans perceive. Look, we talk about this with college football all the time. You know, you have a middle of the road type of SEC or FBS team in a major Power 5 conference. What is the window? Is it realistically 1 or 2 years? Nick Saban really, I want to say, elevated and sort of, you know, fast-tracked how we view successful programs. It used to be 3 to 4 years, get a recruiting class in, and then you have an opportunity to build a foundation. Now it's win now or you're out. You know, it's not just in college football, it's the NFL. You hire a new head coach, you basically have a 3-year maximum window, Scott. If you're not making progression after 2 years, you're on the chopping block. Look at Kingsbury, too. We could talk about it on the back end. Kingsbury showed progression, yet in Arizona, they want to force him out the door, and maybe rightfully so. When Scott and I come back, we'll talk Dolphins, and we'll talk NFC East as well. Coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, the long off season of the NFL. It's almost like climbing Mount Everest. Takes forever to get to preseason. Hopefully we'll be there soon enough. The NFL draft does take place in late April. We have the combine on tap as well. Hopefully we'll see how that plays out with some of the star college players. Scott and I have been breaking down teams in the AFC East, talked about Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills. I brought up Kingsbury and just, you know, because he has shown progression, right, Scott? I mean, took over a last place team. First year, I believe they were 5-11. Then they progressed to 8-8, missed the playoffs. But then they get to the playoffs, wild card round, and they want him out. Now, I understand the off-the-field situations with Kyler Murray and everything else, but they were talking about Kingsbury possibly being out of Arizona last year, and he did show progression from year one to year two, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, and you can even say he showed progression this year by making the playoffs and being 7-0 and, you know, really challenging for being one of the best teams. And obviously they fell apart late in the year, but still you can even make the case they made, you know, progression this year. But you're right, you know, when they were going through that losing streak down the stretch, all the talk about Kingsbury and his records, you know, back in college, struggling last, you know, month and a half of the seasons, and they were talking about him firing, and now all this stuff with Kyler Murray, whether that pertains to Kingsbury or not, who knows, but... Yeah, you know, after 3 years, taking a team that had the number one overall pick, they were that bad, and turning them into, you know, a playoff team 3 years later, and yet the guy's talking about being fired.
So, yeah, it's crazy.
Tough life as an NFL head coach. I mean, tough life for sure.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it affects our guy, Mike McDaniel, right? New head coach of the Miami Dolphins. We talked about the need for the Buffalo Bills, possibly on the defensive side of the ball. Buffalo is the front runner to not only win the Super Bowl this year at 7-1, but they're plus 350 to win the AFC. When you look at Miami right now, they're down the board. They're 36-1 shot on FanDuel to win the Super Bowl, a 20-1 shot to win the AFC. Now, it's going to be Tua's team. At least in the early part of the first half of the season, right? Can he take the next step? He's got Jalen Waddle, that set an AFC rookie, I think a Miami Dolphins rookie record in terms of receptions. Devontae Parker's the forgotten man, though. It seems like they never go, or at least Tua, never goes to him in a big spot. It's always Gesicki, Waddle. He's targeting Waddle 11, 12 times a game, and Devontae Parker seems like the forgotten piece, but... Outside of the wide receivers, I mean, to me, The biggest need is obviously a running back. I like Ahmed. I like Gaskins. They're good, but they're not elite. They're more like scat backs. I would like to see a Najee Harris type of runner. I thought they should have went for Travis Etienne in the draft. If they took him, he might not have gotten hurt. You never know. But what do you feel is the biggest need for this team moving forward?
Direction, you know, maybe wow. more so than personnel. We'll start with direction. We'll go to a GM. Then we'll start with a head coach who looks like he's older than 12. Then we'll go with a quarterback who can throw the football further than most high school quarterbacks. You know, where do I stop?
I know.
A running back that can actually run the football. I mean, they tried every mistread out there, right? Whether it was Frank Gore or, I'm surprised they didn't sign Adrian Peterson, for goodness sakes. I mean, they tried every, and they haven't gotten it done, and their offense. The line is full of nothing but first and second round draft choices now, so that's no longer the excuse. Now, they may suck, but, it's not like they haven't addressed it or at least tried to.
Right.
They're really in a lot of trouble, Joe. I mean, they don't – you're right. Devontae Parker's disappeared. Gesicki is pretty good. I like him a lot, actually.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's not much. They're really – defense is what's holding that team together, I guess.
I know.
You know what? An easy schedule last year. Let's face it, Joe. An easy schedule is what caused them to turn things around. Otherwise, they would have won four games. I mean, they were atrocious at the beginning of the year. They lost to Jacksonville. They lost to Atlanta. They had no business even challenging for a playoff spot, if not for the schedule just working out perfectly.
Right.
Otherwise, our guy Flores would have gotten fired based on the fact he won four games his third year.
Doesn't it seem, outside of Ricky Williams, they always get these journeyman running backs. And Tony Nathan was one of my favorite Miami Dolphins back in the day. Woody Bennett, right? But then they went to Bernie Parmalee. We get these scat guys. I mean, you mentioned Frank Gore. It's like we have these has-been running backs. You're telling me we can't get a guy in the fourth or fifth round that can pound the rock, that can run a 4-3? Can you give me a guy that basically played in the Big Ten? Could we get somebody? I mean, Gaskins was a good running back at Washington. He wasn't elite.
Yeah.
I mean, Ahmed, too. I mean, it's not like they were tearing up the Pac-12. Give me a guy that could run between the tackles in the SEC. Doesn't have to be Najee Harris, but, I mean, they go for Matt Breida. He couldn't cut it with San Francisco. We sign him. All of a sudden, Buffalo signs him. He scores touchdowns. It's like it really is amazing in terms of the talent that we have on the offensive side of the ball. We haven't been able to cultivate it.
Yeah. And, they have so many guys that are all the same level, yet they don't just pick one. You know, they want to spread it around. One day it's going to be Ahmed. Next day it's going to be Gore. Next day it's going to be this guy. Just pick one. That'll be your guy. Or pick two if you want to go that route. Those are going to be your two guys. And either get rid of everybody else or just have them sit the bench. But they feel compelled to try and play everybody. And in the process, they don't have anything. It's like, if you have three quarterbacks, that means you don't really have any. And that's the Dolphin case with their running backs.
Would you take a shot on them? Do you have any confidence in McDaniel to get them over the hump?
No, honestly.
I have to buy in, but until I see it, I can't believe it right now. I'm not gonna buy in and think that Tua is gonna lead the league 5,000 passing yards, 46 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions because Mike McDaniels is calling the plays for Miami this year.
Yeah, I mean, how good was Mike McDaniel without Jimmy G in the lineup for San Fran? The record stunk. All of a sudden it turned into a dope when Jimmy G wasn't around. So, he hasn't done great. And he was a coordinator for 1 year. I mean, wow, that is just a strange hire to me. That really is. But they want to buy into, he got that job because he sold the Dolphins on a bill of goods on Tua Tags. And if Tua Tag bombs out after 2 years, I'm sure McDaniel will be gone. And that'll be his one quarterback. He might not get two quarterbacks. They may say, listen, you told me you could turn Tua into a winner. We gave you 2 years and it's not happening. And I don't think they'll win with Tua. You know me. I've never been a fan of his. Like, he can't throw the ball more than 15 yards down the field.
He's a good slant quarterback. He's a good. He throws a nice slant and a nice hitch. And if he didn't have Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, and John Metchie there, he might not have put up the numbers in Tuscaloosa that he put up. Right? Let's be honest now. I mean, nobody brings that up in college that, he had five-star talent at the wide receiver position, unlike any team. He had O.J. Howard, one of the best tight ends in college football at that particular time. I mean, it goes overlooked. We'll see how it plays out this year for Miami. I'm not so confident, but I hope that they can at least progress over 9-8 this year, but we'll see how it plays out. Like I mentioned, a 20-1 shot in the AFC Championship on FanDuel. Let's look at the NFC. We'll take obviously the Eagles out of the equation and Dallas because of the quarterback situation with obviously Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott. But let's look at Washington right now. We talked about it yesterday in terms of team need. Are they going to buy into Taylor Heineke 100%, or do they go all in? They went in with Fitzpatrick, didn't work out. Do they go all in on potential the draft or a free agent quarterback to turn around this franchise?
Well, Ron Rivera was quoted the other day saying they're in the market for a veteran quarterback. So I'm guessing they're going to go all in for Jimmy G. Like, you know, not say they're going to get him, but they're going to try, I would think, for sure, to go acquire him. And if that doesn't work out, you know, I don't know what his, you know, version is of a veteran quarterback. You know, Teddy Bridgewater's a veteran quarterback. You know, Kirk Cousins gets put on the open market. Would they ever go back to Kirk Cousins? I kind of doubt that. But, you know, they could be in the market all they want, Joe, right? But that doesn't mean there's any out there. There's just not, right. You know, would they go sign Jameis Winston? Is Mitch Trubisky considered a, you know, a veteran quarterback? Is that what they think they,
yeah,
they're going to win
with? Yeah, I mean,
with?
He is. I think what he's saying is they, I mean, and I've heard some mock drafts now. Here's the problem. Didn't they buy into Dwayne Haskins a couple of years ago? 50 touchdowns and 7 interceptions with Ryan Day. And I honestly don't think they gave him enough of an opportunity. They put him in. They took him out. They put him in. If you're going to draft a rookie, put him in there. Give him 16 games at that particular time or 17 games. See what he could do. If you don't think he's the answer, then you pull him. But at the end of the day, that leads me to believe then that they're not going to go, obviously, the Matt Corral route. They're not going to go the Malik Willis route in terms of this upcoming draft. Why would you waste a draft pick if you're not going to utilize him, right? If you don't believe that this quarterback is going to turn around your franchise in the future, why draft a quarterback in this upcoming draft in April with the selection that they have if the head coach wants a veteran?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. I don't like this draft class anyway, and I think they've gotten burned so many times trying to draft guys, although they've gotten burned, too, bringing veterans in, right? How'd that Ryan Fitzpatrick thing work out?
Right.
They're damned if they do, damned if they don't, but I would go get one of those veterans. I told you, we talked about it yesterday. I still think Trubisky deserves a second chance. I'd give a crack at Winston. I would. You know, you can get these guys on the cheap. If you told them, okay, we're going to hand you the franchise, we'll give you a 2-year contract, you know, $40 million, maybe $30 million. That's not, you know, not investing that much, and you have a chance to win a football game with a decent quarterback.
Let me ask you this. If they do get, let's say, a veteran, in your opinion, a Jameis Winston or even a Mitch Trubisky, the way the team is built right now, and we don't know what offseason moves they're going to make, are they better on paper than Philly right now?
Yes. Yeah, and I'm not in love with their offense or with their defense. I think they got a little overrated 2 years ago. This past year, the defense was nothing special at all. But
secondary,
I like their wide receivers. Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, and, you know, the running back is pretty good there, and they got decent core wide receivers. You know, the offense can be actually halfway decent. So that's why I think they're a little bit better than Philadelphia. I'm still amazed Philadelphia made the postseason.
Well, when you look at Washington right now, they are down the board a 40-1 shot to win the Super Bowl 57 this year on FanDuel. They're 19-1 to win the NFC. When we come back, we'll talk about some other teams in the AFC and NFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel, talking off-season moves, talking which teams are in need of certain positions, breaking down the futures market on FanDuel, talked about the AFC East and the NFC East. Talk about some other teams right now. Let's look at Baltimore, because they're there in terms of the conference winners on FanDuel, right behind Buffalo, Kansas City, and Cincinnati. They're a 10-1 shot to win the conference this year. Obviously, Lamar Jackson comes back. He was banged up middle part of the season, didn't get back into the playoffs. Very disappointing season for John Harbaugh and the crew. But where do they turn? I know the defense is good on the front seven, right? You know, the front seven against the run. And that secondary is atrocious, Scott. And the other question mark is, have we seen enough about Lamar that even if he is healthy, he's going to lead this team on a playoff run, especially on the road, to, let's say, outdo Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen in a given situation?
Right. You know, listen, they had a great year for all the things that they went through, right? They couldn't get one more win down a stretch. They just ran at, you know, them and Arizona. Arizona was able to squeak in, but Baltimore was not. Their schedule was brutal. I mean, they were playing playoff team after playoff team after playoff team. And, you know, they came up a win or so short. And really, they had it in their control, right? Beating Pittsburgh at home. You would have thought they would have been able to do that. But, you know, the strange thing for me was they fired Wink Martindale, their longtime defensive coordinator, right? I mean, you know, well-respected guy. The defense didn't seem to be the problem. I mean, the defense kind of did a decent enough job. Not great, but still, with all the injury they had in the secondary and everything, I thought that was kind of weird, Joe. But and the Giants picked them up, so good move by New York there, I thought. But, they'll be back. They'll be back. I have more confidence in them coming back than I do the Cleveland Browns. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Obviously, right? Because we know Lamar Jackson is more consistent in his play than Baker Mayfield. I mean, Baker Mayfield hasn't shown right. that. And you saw the progression with OBJ in the Super Bowl and the title run. I mean, just one of the best free agent moves to pick him up and obviously became a number one wide receiver discussion before getting hurt in the Super Bowl, right? Could he be a number one again? So, you know, why couldn't Baker Mayfield really bring out the best of OBJ in Cleveland? We know why, because he sucks and he's inconsistent. Yeah. So, and now there are no excuses for Baker Mayfield. But let me ask you this about Baltimore, because I do find it interesting. And we've watched Lamar Jackson in college. And again, I still am the biggest backer of Lamar Jackson. I still think he has huge upside. But when I see Tyler Huntley come in and the offense really not miss a beat, you have to say, and you brought this up throughout the year, Scott, that you roll the dice if you're Baltimore and say, you know what? I got the same type of quarterback, a mobile guy. Tyler Huntley was battle-tested. I mean, went toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers in that duel, catching double-digit points. He almost pulls that ball game out. I mean, that offense looked consistent, at least in the passing game with Tyler Huntley. Do you roll the dice and say, you know what, maybe I go with Tyler Huntley and maybe we can get something for Lamar Jackson? I'm just saying, I don't know that that's their mindset. I know he is the franchise, but if you're the GM, do you roll the dice there?
I might. I'm telling you, we've yet to have a team. And even Matthew Stafford only makes about, excuse me, $20 to $25 million. We've yet to have a quarterback coach or lead a team to the Super Bowl who's making this crazy $35 to $45 million a year. And that's where you're going to have to give him because that's going to be the going rate. So would I do that? I wouldn't. I'm just telling. But personally, I wouldn't do that with Pat Mahomes, let alone Lamar Jackson. But that's where I come from. And I got another quarterback that seemingly can be the same type of player, you know. The less and less they run with Lamar, the less and less effective he becomes. And you're going to be in that boat, you know, basically as he gets older. And I thought they ran less with him this year, believe it or not. So why not start all over again? 5 years, you know. And listen, Lamar, you want $25 million? You know, we want you on the team. You want $25 million? Okay, maybe $30 million. But I'm not going to stitch over $30 million. Just not doing it. No team has won. No team has won because you can't afford all these players. You got the superstar quarterback. Dallas is finding that out. Kansas City's going to find that out. All these teams are going to find it out, Joe. You can't pay one guy $45 million when your salary cap is $200 million, and you got 54 other players to play. You can't do it.
That's a great point. Well, let's turn our attention to the NFC then. There's two teams in the NFC. We talked about the NFC East. I don't want to jump into the Giants just yet. Brian Daboll, new head coach. They're going to keep Danny Dimes for now. We'll see what they do. But I want to dive into Seattle because talk about disappointing. With Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf. Not just disappointing in terms of record, right? But disappointing in terms of Russell Wilson's progression. Now, I understand he hurt the finger this year. I get that. But where was he looking in terms of the end of the season? There were games. Go back to that Washington game. He didn't target DK Metcalf once. He didn't tuck it and run once. He didn't want to run the football and get and play his style of game throughout the year. And that's one of the reasons why they limped to the record that they had. And more importantly, he didn't make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I'm telling you, something weird went on with that team this year. You know, and it kind of carried over from 2 years ago. The end of 2 years ago, I noticed it just, I know this is going to be goofy, but he was on my fantasy team, Russell Wilson and Metcalf. And the last 2-3 weeks of the regular season, it just seemed like Russell 2 years ago just said, you know what, I'm tired of running around. I'm tired of being Superman. I'm not going to make these spectacular plays anymore. And he wasn't effective. And I think that happened all of last year. I think he had the same approach. I'm just not going to scramble and run around like a you know chicken without a head on to win football games. So he's either pissed off at the wide receivers, he's pissed off at the offensive line, he's pissed off at the coaching staff. I don't know what, but there was something definitely wrong in Seattle with Russell Wilson and his relationship because they weren't the same team, clearly.
No, I agree. Now they're 33-1 to win the Super Bowl. They had the quarterback, got him there before. It got him to a couple Super Bowls, almost won two, right? He's a one-time Super Bowl champ. Rashad Penny came on at the end of the last year, one of the most dominant NFL backs in the second half of the season. Look at the numbers that he put up over the last five games of the regular season. Just pounded the rock for over 100, I think, in like four of the five games. I mean, 170 yards, two games out. I mean, just dominating. So they're okay at the running back position. They have DK. They have Tyler Lockett, but that defense now is getting old. Wagner, Jamal Adams, I mean, the money that they spent in the trade with New York to pay Adams, he's not that dominant of a player. He hasn't held up due to injury. So if you're looking at this team to potentially get over the hump, what's their biggest need? Are you getting a couple of lockdown corners like Stingley, or are you getting a safety like Kyle Hamilton? Where do you turn for Seattle this year?
Well, that's a good question. What do they need? Seemingly, they solved the running back situation. Offense should be pretty good. They always need offensive alignment for sure, because we just talked about how Wilson scrambled for his life, right? And that defense was a sieve. Now, it was not
terrible.
A very good defense. Oh, terrible. And what a goofy trade. You know, that's why you don't trade two number ones for a player. You know, that did not work out well at all for Seattle. I'm sure if they're given a chance, they would love to do that one all over again. And they paid him a lot of money. So they had to definitely offensive line and the entire defense needs help.
But let me ask you, last year they had, what did they have, like three draft picks? They got Dwayne Eskridge from Western Michigan. That was okay. He was a marginal player. Right. It wasn't like he was going to turn around the offense for Russell Wilson, right? So that hurt them last year. But what could they do? Let me ask you this, a deeper question. If you're betting the 33-1 with Seattle, you're hoping Russell Wilson's there. Right. Obviously,
yes.
I mean, they are not worth anything without Russell Wilson as the starting quarterback. So do they roll the dice? Do you believe that he's starting under center in Seattle, let's say late August, early September when the season kicks off? Because based off his performance this year, I don't think Russell Wilson wants to be in Seattle.
He may not, but he doesn't have a choice in the matter, right? So do I think he's going to be there? Yeah, they're not going to trade him. You said it. I mean, you know, if the Giants, you know, the rumor is here in New York, you know, but again, that's how he makes a lot of money, Joe, for a team to trade for him. And I am a big believer in where there's a will, there's a way. So I'll throw out the salary cap ramifications of it all. But still, what would Seattle be? I mean, he's the face of the franchise. You don't trade the face of the franchises. You just don't. I mean, you'd have to, like, give me five first-rounders and second-rounders. I got no hope for that Seattle team. You're talking about starting from scratch all over again. And literally, what are there? Maybe 12 quarterbacks that realistically you could win a Super Bowl with without having a monster defense. I mean, there's only so many superstars, but they would be nuts to do that. They really would.
Now, Penny is a free agent, and there's talk about whether they should re-sign him. I think if you're Seattle, clearly. I mean, think about the garbage running backs that they have. They have Travis Homer, DJ Dallas, Alex Kyle. How much journeyman running backs do you need on one roster? I mean, really, and they went to each and every one of them throughout the season. So if you're asking me that, I think that they sign Rashad Penny. He was a number one draft pick, and I would still take a shot right now on Seattle as potentially a team that can maybe get to the Super Bowl. I mean, if you're backing any team over 25 or 30 to 1, you need a quarterback that could get you there. At least I know if Russell Wilson reverts back to his old form, you have a shot. I mean, right. Granted, it's the NFC West. You're going to have to go up against Stafford. Maybe it's Trey Lance. But at the end of the day, I have a quarterback that took my team to two Super Bowls a while ago. He still has the potential if we could put the pieces around him. So at 33-1, I'm willing to take that shot. What about San Francisco? Would you pull the trigger right now, not knowing whether Jimmy G is going to be there or not? Do you think they're a Super Bowl contender? You mentioned Aaron Rodgers yesterday. I don't know if Rodgers goes to San Francisco, and would you pull it right now at 15-1?
No, there'd be no reason to pull it now, right? I mean, to me, maybe I should reconsider that. If Rodgers were to go there, would they be 15-1? Probably not. They probably would be lower than that. So maybe you would pull it now. But boy, you talk about just a waste of ticket if he doesn't go there. That's a huge gamble. At least, you know, if I got Denver with Aaron Rodgers, all right, I still got Bridgewater. I still got a pretty good defense. You know, I still got, you know, whatever. I can't see Trey Lance leading San Fran. But the third option is they keep Jimmy G. But I don't think they're going to do that. I really don't. You know, you get a first-round draft choice for Jimmy G. You're going to have four or five teams really, you know, offering up a lot for this guy. If you have the idea that Trey Lance is going to be your quarterback in the future, why would you hold on to Jimmy G? Kind of like the Packers situation, I suppose.
Right.
You know, when you think about it. But, no, I would not pull the trigger on 15-1.
I wouldn't either, and I'll tell you what, if Rodgers does bolt, wherever he goes, there's no way Green Bay's going to be 13-1 to win it,
Super Bowl. Oh, no, definitely.
They are going to be, what, 40, 50, right? They would go from 13-40 immediately. As good as Jordan Love is from a physical attribute standpoint, there's no way you could buy in. And what happens with Devontae Adams in that type of situation? But how about Indianapolis as a potential landing spot for Jimmy G? If, in fact, the rumors are true that Indy does cut or trade Carson Wentz.
For Aaron Rodgers?
No, Jimmy G.
Oh, Jimmy G, okay. That I could see. You know, they don't have a first-round draft choice, though, this year. That's the only thing. You know, Philadelphia has that, right? So I don't know what they would have to offer up unless San Fran was willing to take one for next year.
Well, what if they offer Carson Wentz? They trade Carson Wentz for Jimmy G straight up. That's potential, no? I mean, it's always a situation if you don't believe in Lance. We can pick it up on the back end. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you listen to yesterday's show, we were talking about long shots to potentially crash the party for Super Bowl 57. We talked about Jacksonville, Pittsburgh. I think we talked about Chicago. But what about the NFC right now? Dead last on the board is Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions at 55-1. Scott. Now, Jared Goff and the crew played well down the stretch, didn't they? I mean, they beat Minnesota, 7-point dogs. They went toe-to-toe with the Pittsburgh Steelers, albeit with Mason Rudolph at the helm. I mean, they played some of the better teams in the AFC and NFC pretty tough. If they're maybe one or two pieces away, would you roll the dice on Detroit at 55-1 to win the NFC this year?
I have a better chance of rolling dice uphill in Alaska. Are you kidding me? They could be 55,000 to one. I wouldn't put them. They've never been to a Super Bowl, let alone win one. And I got Jared Goff as my quarterback and a guy that's chewing hubcaps for a head coach. No, they're more than a couple of players away, Joe. They may have not rolled over and died completely. I'll give them credit for that. But they still won, what, two games last year? They played a couple of games close. Everybody plays everybody close. This is not college football where, Kansas, you get blown out by 30 points every day. So, no thank you on Detroit.
I would take a flyer, Scotty. Come on, think about this.
What for? What
you talked
for?
About, you talked away? About, so just wait, just let's think it out quickly. If Aaron Rodgers leaves the conference, okay,
right?
You have enough love in Jordan Love? Chicago with Justin Fields and a first-year head coach. How about Nathaniel Hackett, not Hackett, O'Connell for Minnesota and Kirk Cousins? I mean, no guarantee first-year coach. I mean, Detroit with Dan Campbell biting elbows and cracking elbows and ankles. I mean, second-year guy bought in, has a veteran quarterback, baby.
The quarterback sucks, and you know what? I bet Minnesota would hold on to Kirk Cousins if Aaron Rodgers left Green Bay.
Oh, I'm sure they would. He would be one of the best, obviously, at the top of the division. We'll see. When we come back, Mike Carver joins us. We'll dive deeper into the discussion. Keep it where it is.